if you think of anything for today or this morning, I ask the question that you ask yourself, the question that I'm asking me, does my inside match my outside? Let's pray before we look into God's word. Father in heaven, we're thankful for another Sunday, another day to look into your word, and just ask and pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, and I ask and pray that you help us that we may gather our distracted thoughts, Lord, and that the focus would be on your word and will, and Lord, that those things that would come into our minds and thoughts, that we would put those away, Lord, and that we may be focused on your word, and that all honor and glory would be to you. For this I ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to be reading, there's going to be a couple of portions of scriptures that I'm going to be reading, and we're going to do a little comparison. First is going to be, if we can turn with me to St. Matthew chapter 15. St. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to read the first 20 verses. St. Matthew chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy mother and thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whoso shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightst be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah's prophecy say of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said, "Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings?" But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These things are which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." The second portion of scripture, with the help of the Lord, I'd like that we would read together from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll read the first 13 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 16, the first 13 verses. And here again, these are examples, and we'll be talking about a group of people, the Pharisees, which we've already read, and then we're going to talk about Saul. And if you've kind of caught on what Christ was saying to the Pharisees, where it's a condition of the heart, the same thing as what God told Samuel to Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And Jesse to the sacrifice, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou must do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" Peaceably. And he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked upon Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel saith unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's look at Matthew for a minute. This is a time where Jesus is teaching and preaching about love. He's teaching and preaching about something different that the Pharisees are not, they don't want a part of. It's not a law. It's something that they don't have control over. They were taught one thing, and now Jesus is coming and teaching them something else. Jesus is teaching about hope. He's teaching about love. He's teaching about forgiveness. He's teaching about grace. And it seems like everywhere Jesus went to go teach and preach, they found an opportunity to try to find him and to find an opportunity to prove him wrong. And this was one. And they asked them, and they said to the Pharisees, your disciples are going to, they're going to be eating bread, but they didn't wash their hands. These are one of the laws that have been put into place that the Pharisees, even from time to time, they could not hold. They could not uphold. But yet trying to find a way to catch Jesus, to discredit him, saying that he's teaching us something new, something different. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Well, but you guys are transgressing the law as well." This is, again, when we talk about, does your inside match the outside of your life? The Pharisees are trying to find a way to find a fault in Jesus, but yet there was plenty of fault within themselves. And one of the things that he brought up was, he said, your mother and your father, your parents. And he says, doesn't it say to honor your mother and your father, and you, those that don't, to be cursed? But you see, there was also a law that said that if you called out the word Corbin or it is a gift, then you were not obligated to take care of your parents, yet you were still entitled to all the inheritance and the money that was left for them. So you're thinking, well, how, Jesus is saying, how is that? And then he goes on and he calls him a hypocrite. And I still remember... Maybe it was probably about a year ago, Brother Ronnie was here and he had Bible class, and they were talking about hypocrites. And the word hypocrite comes from the meaning of the word actor, being somebody that you're pretending or you're professing some values and beliefs, but you don't match it. And this is where character comes in as opposed to position. And that's the same if we look at the Pharisees, their character and we talk about the high priests and the elders and their position. They're going to do what they're going to do to withhold their position, to make themselves look good. Does my inside match my outside? So do the things that we do in our lives, do we do them because of our character? Or do we do it because, hey, I want to be seen in a specific status? I want to be seen. Perhaps the word pride then comes to mind, because I want to be seen greater than what I really am. Matthew 23:27-28, Jesus talks to about the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." And we talk about character. Character defines us as the things that we do when nobody is watching us. Then the question is, and I pose that to myself, and this was all something that stemmed with looking internally into myself: does my talk match my walk? If I profess that I'm a Christian, do I act like a Christian? Do I walk like a Christian? Do I talk like a Christian? Proverbs 22:1 reminds us that a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And there is a complete result of how we act as who we are. When our boss is around, do we work harder? Do we show that, you know what, we're hard at work and we're doing really good and we're busy Or are we busy? Are we just shuffling paper to make it look like we're busy? And then when the boss leaves, we slack off. What is our motivation? What is it behind? What motivates us to do the things that we do? Are we worried about our image? Do we want people to think that we're greater than we really are? You know, the whole Bible, when we read about the Bible and the characters, and it's said over and over again that the things that we do is a condition of our hearts. And if the condition of the inside, our hearts, is different than the outside, then we fall within that same category of being a hypocrite. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The character is the real driving force behind everything that we do. It's a part of you and me. And at times that nobody sees, yet it's really you and it's really me. That's our character. And if you have a good character, you will sustain it. But if you have a bad character, that unfortunately will destroy you and me. That takes us to the book of Samuel. If we turn to Samuel, as we've read, and I'll just kind of give you a backdrop of what has really happened here. Saul was the king. And in the prior chapters, God told Saul that he wanted to go to second here. to the Amalekites and to destroy them. And he said, I want you to destroy everyone. I want you to destroy the cattle. I want you to destroy the men. I want you to kill the women. I want you to kill the children. I want you to annihilate everything that they had. And Saul took on that challenge, and he did. However, what happened? In chapter 15 of verse 9, it says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and of the fatling, the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they utterly destroyed. You see, but that's not what God told them. God told them, I want you to destroy everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, I want it gone. There was a reason for it. Because of the way of what they did to the children of Israel. And this was their punishment. And Saul decided, we're going to hold on to the king. Perhaps it was because he wanted to take him as a prize. We see that they took the best that they had. And it was an act of disobedience. And God said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Perhaps Saul was pressured by the men and said, no, we want these. We're going to keep this. Let's just take him. We'll leave that. Let's get rid of that. We don't need to kill everything. This is some good, valuable stuff. The food, the lamb, the sheep, this is good. Character versus position as a king. And God and Samuel are having a conversation because Samuel loved Saul. There was a relationship there. There was a connection there. And when Samuel confronted Saul and said, what did you do? Why did you not obey the word of the Lord? And he says, I did. He goes, I went there. We annihilated them. And we did what God wanted him to do. He said, then why do I hear the cows and the lamb bleeding? They're bleeding. Why do I hear the noises of these animals? And Samuel told to Saul, pretty much after they had this conversation, when Samuel turned around and would not worship God with Saul, Saul grabbed Samuel by his garment and he tore it. And Samuel told Saul, God's taken the kingdom from you. This kingdom's going to be torn. And then it goes into chapter 16, and we see that relationship because the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? So we see that relationship that the two had. But we also see Samuel, his character, and his position. He loved Saul, but his character of being a prophet of God outweighed his position with him and his friendship. And in short, God told Samuel that he's going to set up another king. And he says, go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, because from him I've chosen a king. And it's interesting as he goes through all the sons of Jesse. Oh, here comes one. Surely the Lord's going to want to, this is going to be the one he's going to set up for a king. And God says, nope, not him. Then he brings another in front of him, and God says, nope, not this one either. And after seven of his sons came before Samuel as prospect kings, and God turned them down. He says, do you have any more? And he goes, I have one more. Because he's out in the field, he's the youngest. And he gave the reason why he would not choose any of the other seven. And that's in verse 7 of 16. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. So these men must have been big. They must have been pleasant to look at, as I think maybe all his sons were good-looking men. But there was something else that God was looking for. He says, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And we know it's written in different portions of Scripture. David was king, but he wasn't a perfect king. David was a man, he was human like you and I, and he was susceptible to temptation. And he gave in, and he sinned. But what set him apart from the others? Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. And God knew that. And God knew the countenance of his heart. The you that no one sees should be greater than the you that everyone sees. This is a quote that I came across. Your prayer life should be greater in private than in public. Your worship should be greater in private than in public. The man or woman you are in private should far exceed the man or woman you are in public. Whether you are in church, work, or at home, it doesn't matter. Character versus position. Our inward compared to our outward. And as we read in Matthew, if you go back to Matthew 6, Jesus talks about prayer and fasting. And when he said, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues, in the corners, and in the streets. When you pray, go into the closet. For your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. So what's the formula? Do it in secret. When you give, do it in secret. When you pray, do it in secret. When you fast, do it in secret. Today we're challenged to focus on one thing. It's the off stage. You that nobody sees. Our focus is to be on being that true person of character, doing our greatest work in secret for the right reasons. If you spend your time building your character, God will take care of building your reputation. When your character and reputation match, when my character and my reputation match, then I will be well on my way of being the person that God wants me to be. And that's my thought, my prayer for each one of you, as it is for me today, is that my character and my reputation match. May God bless his word.